You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Og Telez. I became interested in Og's writing on Facebook, where he shares information about events to come. And Og is one of many who were part of a genetic engineering program that sought to combine various elements of DNA from various sources, in order to create a more easily controlled yet powerful and defined person. And this involved chemicals, scalar wave technology, ritual trauma and programming, mind control, and many other aspects of conditioning, training, secret operations, physical enhancements, cognitive enhancements, virtual reality, off-world operations, temporal manipulation, spiritual and etheric training, or conditioning, and programming. This is just the beginning. These operations span across our civilization and involve advanced
technology. The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Well, I don't know who that was, but that must have been Minnie Mouse or something. So this is just the beginning. Those operations span our civilization and involve advanced technology that goes far beyond what is released publicly. Og says, I was shown many things by those who work behind the scenes. The unveiling is a series of events brought about by the necessity and capacity of the human race and this civilization to come to the awareness of the true nature of the corruption of power, as well as the reality of the soul. Many people are here to help perform this task. They are ex-operatives, researchers, healers, travelers, scientists, and so on. Og is here to assist in informing the public of the unveiling. You can find Og on Facebook, where he has a page. And you can also find him on his WordPress blog, which is under www.ogtelez.wordpress.com. And I highly suggest reading some of the material there because it's very informative and it covers a lot of territory, and you can save yourself some time. So let's welcome Og to the show now. Hi, Og. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Well, good. Good. I was thinking that maybe as part of the beginning of this show, we could have you just give a general overview of what kinds of programs you were involved in. And, of course, everybody's going to be wondering about what DNA was used to create you. You didn't use the term super soldier because I guess that wouldn't be appropriate, but we do know that there are super soldiers and that they use probably a similar type of program to develop those. So maybe you could give us a little background on when this all began and some of the things that you were involved with, if you can release that information in a general way.
Yeah, I can give a little bit of that. You could consider it part of the so-called Super Soldier program, which is getting a lot of flack lately. But, you know, right out of their books, it's a super warrior program in the military. It's the Nazis' Uberman program. And maybe because it can be taken to the point where it's like, you know, the most weird, evil stuff, whatever, and then it's the most, okay, it's conditioning and power bringing and stuff like that. So people don't know how to organize what's going on in reference to the occult kind of things that are going on in the mind control and the conditioning, and even the process of kind of mixing DNA and genetics, and organize that in reference to, and even cyborg type stuff, and organize that in reference to just strengthening and conditioning process and training. Mm-hmm. So everyone goes through what is basically it's the MKUltra program. That's what the name of it is when you basically get word of it out here. Basically, on the inside, that's just basically the mind control program. It's for containment, it's for focus, conditioning, and it's for safety for the group, because it will cause the individual to self-destruct in a variety of ways, and it will allow the programmers plausible deniability and many ways to basically mitigate their own results, their own responsibility of it. And it's not like they're truly dodging responsibility, is to make sure that doesn't come back to the group. Mm-hmm. And so then the rest is basically preparation for travel and organization across different times. And that starts very young, because it's the only way it will work. It's the only way it'll keep someone together to be able to go through these things. And then as far as what you would call a super soldier and all that, that gets related to, and I'm kind of speaking fast here because I know an hour isn't going to be enough. But
right. Well, we'll have to do another show too.
Yeah, sure. But the parts of that are related to basically being able to withstand pain, increased endurance, and all the things that you would associate with that. And it goes on in a variety of ways. But the reason behind that I can talk about it, is because what we consider a super soldier in your wildest imagination has been surpassed in every sense of that, sense of cognition and physicality, to the point where it's basically indescribable. I don't want to say machine men, but it's a mix of bioorganic, almost robotoid soldiers. And so that's why the world is basically being allowed to know. And then it does tie into what I want to lead into, where there are basically these events that are coming, and this relates to some things I written down, topic titles, which is celebrity cloning, the Solar Warden group, underground bases, DNA activation, knowledge of the self, the corruption in the system, ancient civilizations, ancient societies and practices, the knowledge of the cosmos and the soul, space and matter, time and consciousness, and these current events that are coming around now, where people are becoming aware of all these things and how it's related to high intelligence or lack of awareness, and basically choosing to be aware of the knowledge of the self and the knowledge of the world and the immaterial self and the immaterial reality, instead of just what's material, that, you know, our self really encompasses, is basically going to be the difference between people who can handle this coming change and find their place in that world and those who are going to reject it. And it's pretty much down to that as far as a choice. It's not necessarily like the chosen few, but it might seem like that when things really start happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do remember a few years back, I heard Andrew Baggiago talk about the Project Pegasus, and he was a child at the time, and he was kind of inducted into that program with a couple of others. One was named Barry Sartovo, and who was a young black gentleman, and he turned out to be the man who we call Barack Obama today. And of course, that's all theory for most of us, but that's the going theory. And it was funded by the Vatican and through DARPA, and they did time travel experiments and went to Mars and did some localized time travel experiments. And he's been talking about this for years, so I'm guessing that the information is meant to get out there so that people can start to process it, because there's such a vast wealth of technology that we're unaware of, and everything in the newspapers and in the media is designed to keep us thinking that that what you see is what you get, that NASA is the space program, that there is no other, and We don't know why we didn't go back to the moon, but there must have been a good reason, and so on and so forth. But there really are highly advanced breakaway civilizations that have technologies that rival Star Trek, and they're here on Earth, and you probably know a lot more about that than I do. I've just, you know, done some reading on it, and there are a few people that talk about it. So we do know that there's a breakaway civilization, and it's completely separate from this one in terms of its advancement in technology. So there's a lot that we humans are unaware of, and I think the most important thing at this moment is what you're talking about and referring to as the unveiling, because it is deeply connected to the disclosure movement. And I understand that disclosure is not just about ETs and aliens, good and bad and indifferent. It's also about what is on the planet and the level of corruption, who's running the show, the managers who work for off-world entities, the numerous different forms of control, which include advanced AI, which is making making inroads and showing up at this time. And, you know, so many things have been happening that we're unaware of. Cloning has been going on for decades, and cyborgs, astral shells have been revivified from the astral plane and given bodies. And so there are soulless humans, you might say, or humans that don't have the usual components that are walking around. So if you feel like there's somebody that isn't all there, you might be right. So there's a lot that we don't know about, and we're in this rather unfortunate bubble that's I guess it's about to burst, according to what you're saying. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. And what you said about the earlier part of what you said, I don't really want to repeat it with Andrew. That is accurate, and it's all relative. No one's really, there's really no group vying for the complete and total destruction of all. You could also say that it's the group trying to replace the society with their own version of it, and everyone has their own version of how they think it should play out. And then there are this type of idea about people or maybe even essences that are far removed from our society. And some, you know, it goes both ways. Some want to assist, and they vie for people because they believe humans have an eternal place in the universe, that basically we can fight corruption within ourselves, because that's where corruption starts. And the other side of that believes that it's not going to work that way. It'll spread, and that the best way is to nip it at the bud, and it's literally like not even personal. And which is the strangest thing, but that's how it is. And both of these two far removed aspects of all of that, what's going on, neither side would benefit. I mean, you could say that they would both benefit if we make it. And you can even say they both would benefit if we are, you know, corrupt and then it's nipped at the bud. But if we disappear, neither side is affected. And if we make it, neither side is affected. They don't benefit or receive damage from whether we make it or not. It's literally like they're removed from the situation. And then so as far as how disclosure is to come out, there's basically it's a lot that has to happen, and it's a lot that will happen, because those scenarios will be activated if a certain level of disclosure is reached, and these will be for control measurement, for control purposes. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing we're seeing right now is basically a measurement game, if you will, of people's consciousness, of seeing how their consciousness can handle the information. And then a lot of the people who are the factions that, if not all of them, especially the ones mainly controlling a lot of events, they have access to temporal viewing technology and transfer, and so what? Like, nothing is surprising. You know, they're not surprised by what can happen. That sounds kind of weird to say it, but it's like it's impossible because they literally have seen it, and then they have access to versions of reality which are considered parallel or alternate, and that is actually where some of these breakaway civilizations exist. It's not a Shambhala, Shrigala. I can't think of the word right now. I'm sorry. It's not a place. It's an alternate dimension.
Well, like the inner Earth.
Well, that's where there's a deviation. Where is it? The tunnels? Is it the caves which do exist, or is it a portal through there which you get to, or is the inner Earth, when you get to a certain electromagnetic resonance of space, does that open up into alternate dimensions because we're simply here in between?
Right.
That brings me to a good talking point, which is that the whole understanding of nature is going to be changed by this. We got to kind of balance out how good that's going to be, how much is we're going to know now, versus how many people can really handle that and who's going to be around to experience it. And so we want to create a gradient rather than a big, huge buildup, and then it's like five people can handle it and that's all that's there.
Right.
But again, once it gets to a certain point, it just all flows out because there are going to be releases that change everything. It has to do a lot with technology, ultimately with cyborgs, cloning, and androids. But the idea of the universe, basically, you could say there's three planes: the underworld, the abyss, and the heavenly or deity planes. And the middle plane, the middle realm, is basically physicality. What happens here, it simultaneously determines what we see on higher planes, as well as it's determined by these higher planes. It all depends on how we expand on these higher planes with their actions and our intentions here. It's kind of like an imagination or a spirituality amplifier or consciousness amplifier for the universe.
Huh.
And everything that happens here is connected to what's happening elsewhere, pretty much like it's a big projection system.
Mm-hmm.
And so so the idea that I wrote down a little bit before the show, and it ties in perfectly now. It's almost like you meant to bring up these. Basically, it has to do with the inner Earth and space as well. So basically, where this is really weird how it all played out. Basically, cold weather and immune strength. So I remember a few bits of training where they try and prepare you to be able to go to environments that are not very friendly for the body. And they do this until you don't have an immune response to the cold or to whatever the threat is. And so basically space is thought to be cold, but it's really neither cold nor hot until you have something to reference that with. It's the same as there's a concept that there's no visuals in space unless there's advanced tech making it possible, or an atmosphere, or you know, a debris field or something like that, in order to register that light. And then we get into the idea that unless the light or the heat or interference coherence pattern hits anything and you are inside that field of convergence, you're not going to have reference to be able to perceive that. So we get the idea that I go on here about how the convergence of two planes, one being the abstract plane of reference and the other being what is referred to as a planetary environment. That's how we basically build consciousness, and we find ourselves inside of a planetary plane. Ultimately, it's like a big cosmological computer system. But the idea is, and I didn't write this down, but the idea is that when you get high enough towards the atmosphere, you diverge from the reference plane of Earth, of physical environment.
Mm-hmm.
We have a variety of ways of explaining this. Really, honestly, none of them are accurate unless you look at the old kind of gnosis and cosmological understandings of the universe. But again, there's a big everything that's in the media is part of what's being projected on the outside. Remember that projection metaphor. And whatever is projected on the outside is hitting the screen. It's not what's actually being projected. It's the reference of that. And so it's all backwards. They give everybody on the outside the backwards information. So you have to decode it from there and work your way inward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really confusing when you try and really figure out what's out there and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, is when you diverge from planes of reference, when you diverge, you enter into an abstract realm which is dependent on your consciousness. And that's what's happening on Earth anyway. Your consciousness determines what you experience. Only when we're in this physical way, it is filtered through a set of collective examples or like a schematic, and it will repeat certain ideals, or it'll have certain reference points that will gear it or lean it towards a certain experience. And when it all happens a similar way, we call that the collective physical realm. So when you diverge from that higher or lower, you begin to experience information or a realm that is not referenced by that collective continuum, that whole, which we call the population of our civilization, of our society. Same as a guy in a cave going to meditate, and for him a year passes in a few weeks, and for somebody else, you know, on a journey hiking through Tibet, that whole three-month journey is gone in a week because they were so excited. It's the same thing, but when you diverge, when you physically diverge from the literal quantum and atomic space, excuse me, from that, you know, what this is, the matter and the space that we're around, we see that property happen a lot greater, a lot more intensely. And when craft are used to diverge, you basically enter into these, you start bypassing realms. And so the idea is that that may be what we're looking at when we're talking about underground bases in the interior of these mountains that contain certain crystalline structures and metallic structures that act basically as resonators, and it affects your consciousness directly. The body, it's almost like a generator for a car or an alternator where you have the magnet and then the metal that swirls around it or through it, and you generate a charge. I think that's the lens effect. Maybe the Lorentz. I mix them up. And so The same thing happens with the fluids in your body, the metal in your blood, the fluids that go around everything that's happening in your brain, the water and the diffusion and the charge. That field that we have, that charge, that standing wave around the body, we call that the soul or the aura.
Mm-hmm.
So a crystalline structure, some piezoelectric crystals, you increase the pressure on them and you get a charge out of them. You can do the same thing and you can electrocute them and certain ones and you'll get a standing field. Some you just increase the pressure. The idea is that these resonate with a type of electromagnetic structure similar to the human soul. And so it is said that certain crystals that will do that are alive. They're living beings. They can hold consciousness. I don't know why I have a sore throat, a not clear throat. And so a lot of these crystals are used in tech, and where Tesla began kind of goes into that a lot. But the idea is that it's actually the key to a lot of the technology, to getting it to work properly, that you have to incorporate crystal tech. But the idea is that we're surrounded by that. We're in a big crystal tech time travel spaceship device. That's what the planet is, basically. And it relates directly to our own consciousness, to the point where we are interfacing with a variety of planes depending on our consciousness in reference to these planes as the observer agent. And same sense, you can use the crystals around your body and influence the energy in there that you can heal. And that's all the basic ideas I displayed there, I presented, are the beginning. It's going to be the beginning of this species understanding this technology and ultimately working with it. That's where it's going to go if we play our cards, which is not a good term. It's too abstract to say that. Cards themselves are a bit occultic, but we can have crystal tech. We can have systems that interface with the mind through these enhanced crystal devices. That's basically what we're looking at, but we're going to get through a very rough period here. It's because people want to complain about being ruled and who's ruling who, more than they don't want to be ruled. And they can ask them, do you want to be ruled or do you don't? And they might say, oh, of course not. Of course I don't want to be ruled. I don't. But then when you ask them, well, pick one, they'll pick one still. They have to stop. And I don't mean directly voting. It's about anything in your mind. Anything in your mind where the person's consciousness goes from the abstract field where their inner world is present, which is abstract from this realm. Everyone's non-local, an entire universe, each person to themselves. And when they get taken outside of that, that's basically dominion over man. That's domination consciousness-wise, or mind control.
Mm-hmm.
You can offer up some guidance if you don't want me to keep rambling there.
No. It's making sense so far, and I know that you're leading somewhere with all of this. Towards the unveiling. The interesting thing about crystals is that Atlantis or Lemuria that supposedly had so many problems with using their crystal technology unwisely. Towards the end, and I had heard or read that the weather was held in a comfortable state because there were crystalline structures all around the planet that were made of ice. I think it was ice, and they were in place, and they held the temperature of the planet at a very comfortable level, and of course those were destroyed along the way. Along as were many things destroyed. It seems that many of the civilizations that we know of became corrupted, and it seems to be pretty much par for the course. If a business or a movement gets large enough, it seems that it's just automatic that it ends up being co-opted and infiltrated and taken over. So I pretty much am certain that anything that's large enough to be out there in the world affecting things is probably, not clean in the sense of, no hidden agendas and using integrity and telling the truth and so on and so forth, because that's not the MO of the system of control and domination that runs the world.
And a lot of that is, it's basically there, it's as if they know what people are going to do.
Right.
So they put themselves there and kind of hold the cape in front of the bull, and the bull runs that way. And the bull in his head thinks that the guy made him do that. And everybody in the audience goes, he's controlling the bull. It's all him. And if it was something bad happened, it's like, oh, it's all him. Blame that guy. All that does is distract it away from the people. The people, they're not really doing it but to themselves, but they are in a way. But it's the essence that they're in control the whole time. That's the trick. The way it was explained is that they called it the Lucifer Rebellion. And there's a lot of information coming out about that now, and I was actually briefed on it, and so, there's so much confusion about it. Energetic synthesis.
You can help clarify that for us.
I'll do my best. Energetic synthesis is a site. I think her name is Renee. I was shown some of that information, and I don't agree with a lot of anyone's information, and so I don't even agree with a lot of that, but there's so much relativity in there and honesty in there. I got to bring it up, but what I was told, and I don't want to go any deeper than that. I'll just say I was told it was called the Lucifer Rebellion. It was an idea. And of course, was it Lemuria, Atlantis, Egypt, or Asgard, all these other ones? Was it mythical? Was it Mars? So, there was a weather disaster because everything was maintained through these crystalline structures, these devices. These structures rely on consciousness, so then therefore their entire environment was directly tied to their consciousness. Their consciousness was disrupted through this rebellion of those trying to get power, and therefore their entire planet was disrupted from there. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically where that went, and then that was the beginning of the genetic chimerism, the projects, a whole bunch of stuff that disrupted the timelines. I'll give a quick rundown of the unveiling. This might be a good show to do that. It won't take too long. I have a list right here, but it's supposed to start. It's going to. Gosh, I'm getting these strange occurrences every once in a while. I do, and I hear myself talking, and it's basically we've seen like there are the devices that can see what's going to happen, and so I've seen a lot of these shows before that I'm doing now. It's a very strange thing. It's like getting an echo in your head. They call it second sight. A lot of the operatives will get it. You got to be maintained, basically, and monitored for the rest of your life because you could mess up a lot of stuff if you use it incorrectly. The strangest thing. Celebrity cloning. Underground. Like, for instance, I said supposed to be about celebrity cloning, and I remember I distinctly got the appearance of the a memory of us having a discussion on whether I should say it just supposedly or otherwise. And strangest thing. And, you know, you have a whole bunch of loops in your head of whether it happened that way because they saw it and we saw it in the future, or because it was going to happen anyway. And that's part of why this is all happening now. We're in a time loop because of certain aspects of our civilization that were created that way through the future. But celebrity cloning, the underground military bases, cloning and mind control technology, meaning basically mind transference or consciousness transference, also known as transference. From there, this is like the first phase. Excuse me. So from there, then that it begins to touching on the secret projects, these unacknowledged special access programs, which dealt with everything from they go into other worlds. They literally go into other worlds from. I mean, I don't know how they did it. These agents walking around in their, you know, clean, nice suits and hats and stuff, and then they, you know, going behind a secret door, you know, seventh floor or any of these other terms, a green door. And there's these other beings, you know, and I couldn't understand how they could just go home back to society. And I don't know, it's very strange. But all that was, they just began this in the 60s. And mind control has been going on since previous societies, which is where a lot of these groups came together. And they were funded and they had a lot of power anyway. But it was all brought together for this purpose. And ultimately, the purpose is now, at least, for the survival of the civilization and humanity. And so, but that also kind of should make you think and should allow you to know that it's a bit more severe than just exploring. When you go out to explore, what you are going to find is instantly created. That's how complex this universe is. That's why you can get anything you want. It's your intentions that build the map or build a map. It's your intentions as you're doing that create the endpoint of where you're going to be and what treasure you're going to find. It's very strange, but it's as it should be, perfectly as it should be, like a dream in a way. But from there, mass mind control, the deceptive control of society, and all types of manipulation, unconscious, dream manipulation, energy conversion, and harvesting, genetic engineering, and or more so genetics, and the different hybridizations basically in our society that just happened thousands of years ago. That is just the race, the how we've been. It's the humanity is going to be redefined. And that's like phase one. That's where it's going to basically be the most difficult aspect, the shocker, that nothing is as it seems. Then it's phase two, based upon advanced technology, scalar, Teslian waves, technology, zero-point energy generators, electromagnetic field interactions, space-time distortion, electrogravitic craft, healing technology, DNA repair, DNA activation, holographic replication technology, supercomputers, and quantum computer systems. From there, they built universal replicator systems, and you can literally access, I'll just say, simulated versions of a game system like this universe. What they really found out, this universe corresponds and acts kind of like a computer system. And if you have a powerful enough computer system to line up and make a simulation of a certain era, you're actually accessing other realms. You're a parallel realm within this universe, as if that's the gateway, that's the door into the other realm. And that's what a lot of these depictions, these ancient carvings and petroglyphs and hieroglyphs describe. The third one is the most, it's going to be the spiritual event that people have been wondering about, waiting for. Some people are going to say it's the end. Some people are going to say it's the beginning. Universal spiritual implications, effects, results, and discovery of the previous two described phases. The effects of time travel, the effects of consciousness manipulation and enhancement, reality and evidence of the human soul as a bio mind, basically something that carries the information of consciousness outside this realm, outside the physical body. It's still, the soul itself is still relative to the physical realm, and the spirit is the highest form of that. And we have to integrate our consciousness into a spiritual aspect. Otherwise, it basically kind of gets stuck here in a way. Mm-hmm. And so psychic ability, ancient history, issues with discontinuity, where these basically these problems with time travel appeared, spirituality and religion, advanced spiritual technology, breakaway human and non-human civilizations, interaction between planes, we've been doing it for a long time, consciousness, awareness, and interdimensional travel, plasma life forms, a lot of these are the sentient AI systems that are they're out there, dust to dust, ash to ash, dust is a human made out of the clay, the elements, organic consciousness, the organic soul matrix. Ash to ash is fire, is essentially an electrical plasma system, and basically humans can be a mix of either. And so the plasma systems we see could be angelic or demonic. It's depending on what you're looking at, and that's what basically is has been going on. It's basically a type of sentient computer system, but it mixes with spirituality. At the highest level, the universe is neither technical and hard inorganic object or a fluid living bio mass. It's a perfect balance beyond all comprehension. And so from there we get the sentient computer systems, the cyborgs, androids, synthetics, and then cosmic intelligence. These phases are going to be unveiled, unrolled, and it's going to change our society from there on. But you got to understand where I'm coming at. Right now people want to burn stuff in the streets because they don't understand what's happening. That's going to play itself out until greater change is received. I said this on a last night previous, just a talk with a Emma Gold, for full disclosure now, and that's the cover name, alias, and I can't think of the other word for a writer or something, but basically there's a 666 program, and I don't know how if he would agree with me saying his name, but Michael Cavanaugh is a very intelligent man, and he's on Facebook, and he knows a lot about this stuff. There's a 666 program, which can be, and everything can be taken to one of two ways, or both if you're, you know, crazy. Or if you just know and choose neither in a way. 666 can mean carbon, balanced, you know, and life and congruence. Or it can mean ego, imbalance, rebellion, self-destruction, and fear in that sense. Mm-hmm. So then there's 777, which can mean survival and continuity. And usually it's, yeah, when it gets to like higher up, it gets more refined. And so this one is usually one or two ways, and they're both going to be positive. But even then, it can be it's a lesser of the two, basically. But the higher one, at least, of 777 is survival through collectivism and appreciation, helping each other, basically. It's higher awareness, peace, and continuity, and all those things. So they figured out that the realm we're in, the whole thing, the whole shebang, the whole planet and universe and how it's tied together, it kind of acts like a computer system. So they figured out how to use these devices to interact with the computer system, essentially to beam energy into it and to get a code to come out via people's lives, current events, mass changes in society, crazy stuff. 666 was the one that was being pulsed out all over the planet up until around 2010, which is give or take a few years because it's in and out of time for various purposes. And at that point in time, they said, and you can kind of see it now, everything is a little bit changed. It's changing. Okay, I'll just keep going. They said that they started doing it, and so 777 is being pulsed out now. 777 is there. The idea is that you're getting 666 and 777 at the same time. It's about who's going to sit there and feel the urge to freak out, flip out, ultimately follow ego in those patterns and create a self-destruction pattern, self-destructive. And at the same time, there will be people who will sit there and choose the higher pattern, which is collectivism, togetherness, peace, abundance, you know, inner authority, and higher awareness. And so the idea is that the 666 crowd is going to get more and more and more crazy, more and more wild. And at the same time as that happening, the 777 is going to get more and more enlightened. And that's a heavy, it's like a coded word, a heavily, you know, messed up word. But that's the idea, that they're going to get more and more wise, more and more peaceful, more and more you know, to a higher consciousness, higher awareness, and it's going to be happening at the same time. That's the trick. That's the experience. That's the magic of it, that while those are over there burning stuff and thinking it's the end of the world, there will be people over there having a consciousness, an ascension experience. And the ascension can be misconstrued in a variety of ways, but there's basically a technological one where there's implants and all types of stuff, and maybe even complete cloning, replication even. And then there is a tech-assisted one, which is not through implants and things like that. And it's basically these Tesla scalar devices that can literally pulse out negative energy. It can change the DNA, but not, that's the whole point, not through completely changing it, but by removing these toxins that are in the system. And when that's out there, then the DNA activates fully, but just by the consciousness not being let go. As well with that, everyone born on the planet is under 9 veils, and these are a system of control mechanisms within our consciousness, within our DNA genetics. And I believe they resonate through the DNA, where the RNA is the large, the more refined, smaller loop, but it will not, if the RNA is changed, it basically will take an eternity to change that, or it's impossible to change it. DNA is altered or changed, the RNA is preserved, you can actually kick out those changes in the DNA and like re-unfold the RNA, and it will basically re-overlap the DNA and bring out a latent pure structure as if it wasn't actually mutated or toxified. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. We have to remember to try and bring about the highest amount of peace. There's a few other of these topics explained in the full disclosure now video, so check that out.
Okay.
Sorry if that was a little confusing.
So what is the time frame on the unveiling, and does that relate in some indirect way to what some others may be referring to as the event?
Apparently so. I know a little bit about that. A lot of everything is being mitigated and managed by certain behind-the-scenes groups. I mean, I even am. I'd be out there. I'd be doing what I'm doing. But I'd just be like, yeah, just love everybody. Just, I don't know about all the other stuff. It's just, you know, make juice, you know, and be cool. That wouldn't be as helpful as I am. I perceive myself as being now. So in a way, the intelligence agencies mitigated that by assisting me in helping the people. So a lot of these people that are out there are being assisted by these groups. And it's I'd say it's a better thing. So a lot of it's coming around now. They said it was around 2016, 2017 is a major time frame shift. And I've been seeing it. I've been witnessing it. I don't know if that means it's going to be entirely just for me, but apparently other people are getting the same notion. So within now to within a year, a lot of people are planning to basically move inland away from populated areas and basically away from the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see all these other things, you have to use the what's happening in public eye as a sign, as a reference. That's how all the codes are transmitted. That's how all the things are seen and said and done. And basically, there was soft disclosure for a long time, for this entire time. It's always been around. And it's getting more and more apparent, more and more blatant. And the idea is that that's going to get more and more blatant and in your face until it's 100% in your face out in the front door. And there
right.
Was people, there will be some people who still go, nah, that can't be what it is. It's just, you know, it's just a show or something's going on. I don't know, some big event. It doesn't make sense to me. And it will, their consciousness, it will literally abstract away from what's happening, the truth of it, and build up some type of, you know, referential cognitive dissonance to explain it away as. And that's basically what we're going to be watching. The same time people are going to be, they're going to be, my friend was telling me about somebody protesting the other day in the street and pooping on a sign and, you know, having a bowel movement on the sign and then smearing it over with their hands. And so the idea is, how deep and dark are you going to go in saying that this system is dark and deep and disgusting? Well, it's the same. It's one and the same now. But the point is, if you ask them that, they won't say, I mean, they might even say, yeah, hell yeah, that's dark what I did or whatever. But they won't see that that's the problem with the system, you know. And so
right.
That's going to continue as well, to the point where people are going to be destroying the system to try and fix it, and that never works. That's a trick. And in the same sense, it'll be blatant in front of everyone, like, that's not going to help, that's clearly not going to help, to the point where it'll switch and they'll simply accept it, that the only way to move on is to annihilate whatever they think they don't like. And that's basically a trick, but that's going to be how the 666 program closes itself out. And in that way, those who don't choose to activate higher consciousness, higher awareness, which is the difference between awareness and consciousness. Consciousness is kind of out of the brain. It's more relative to this material, physical structure. Awareness is pretty much, it doesn't have to be relative to matter. You can have spiritual awareness outside the body, things like that. And so, but it'll be blatant. And but the people who reinforce 777 and blatantly see these changes happening, and they're good changes for them and their, you know, group, their communities that they're with. They also have to heal the earth as well. It'll be blatant to them. But because it's blatant to them, it will reinforce itself. It's not self-negating. The 666, eventually, the group, and I'm just being generalized here, because it also doesn't mean, you know, if you see somebody using 666, they might know exactly what I'm talking about and just be sitting there trying to send the message out, you know. But if you ever see people actually hurting themselves or partaking in that, that's basically called overt Satanism, which is not actually, it's a trick to get people who don't have higher access to consciousness to destroy themselves. Which is, again, in itself is kind of mind-blowing and dark, but that's what it is.
Huh.
And then when it's blatant to them that they're destroying themselves, at that point they won't be able to stop. They'll just continue on because that's the point. It is self-negating by virtue, by initiation of it, or by the start. So
huh.
A lot of stuff going on. And it all comes together. It all relates. There's all signs. Basically, everybody's talking about it is involved. We all just got to go towards the higher, we got to pick the higher pattern. You could say catastrophes happen wide scale. Ascension happens individually. You can't force everyone, a big event comes by and a UFO shoots everybody with beams that makes them ascend. I mean, technically there's technology to do that, you know, but, you know, if a UFO came and forced everyone to ascend to the point where their DNA was purified of these toxins, you know, they're not really mutating their DNA, but just like removing these essences. We get a beautiful society, but if somebody, you know, farted the wrong way, those people will go right back to it because you can't negate free will. So if a person didn't agree to work with that property to advance themselves, it doesn't stick. It does not stay in their mind, in their consciousness, in their life. It goes right back because it's a learning process. So you can't just force people to, you know, fix themselves. That's
right.
That's the whole idea. There will be a natural shift because there's always going to be a group, a tendency between people to know and adopt early, and those that are just kind of riding the wave. Those people will not benefit as much as the people who do it now, who make the initiative to change now. A lot of it is a big show, where it doesn't have to be this big meltdown. Yeah.
Well, you know, in a way, it doesn't seem really fair that humans have been subjected to so much multidimensional technological and physical on every level, dumbing down and DNA tampering and consciousness lowering and interfering with the, you know, with our ability to live, you know, setting off nuclear plants and oil spills and false flags that create fear, and of course fear is the food that they feed off of. So we're really like animals on a farm that are being eaten, when we're not aware of it.
Well, you could say it's like that, but in the same sense, we can't change what is already unless we get higher dimensional access, and they're not going to help us until we come to them. They're not going to just barge in here and be like, all right, we're healing the timeline because you're so stupid that you're going to destroy everything. It's not. Again, that's kind of dark because you're so stupid. Well, we didn't do anything, right? But the idea is, it's so weird, but this is how it is. The people who make the shift to fix that, that will be a society that you could do whatever you want. You can put nanites all over the place. You could put all types of stuff in their face, and they'll be immune to it. They'll be invincible to the same things that are basically destroying our society now. So that's the whole idea behind it, which is, again, kind of dark and disgusting, but we can't change what's out of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I went on that talk before. We can't change what's out of our hands, but we can change it individually for ourselves, so that ascension process, that awakening, is individual to each of us. And what happens overall with the society, that will determine what basically takes, what plays out on this planet, like kind of like a majority code rule, almost like Bitcoin or something, the majority of the blockchain access gets to be the one blockchain access, and all that can be controlled by hackers and intelligence agencies, by the way, as far as Bitcoin, but or blockchains. I forgot, some people asked me questions on Facebook for that. It's a majority, and so we have this collective idea of change that is taking place, and individually what we partake in, that is going to determine how we experience that in the world, how we cleave our pathway to that in the world. Individually is our own reality. Collectively, how everyone is doing that is going to determine what happens to us, and everyone has to kind of, you know, get through, has to kind of get along through. So you can also look in the world and see how things are going to happen. Some people asked about timelines merging, Mandela effect. There's been a lot of that. A lot of them are collapsing out now. A lot of them are being propagated up through, you could say, these nanite devices, which are in a lot of the public elite, which is not the actual elite, by the way. They even said that. And these nanite devices operate through time, and they're using, they feed off negative energy, and they're using that to come back to this time to propagate this space in order to basically interact here in a certain way. So at a lot of time, a lot of them now are trying to help. They're trying to negate the process. Yet, say they stopped the whole system, they would lose contact with this plane, this realm, or at least this time, if you could say that. And at that point, anything could happen. Sure, they let go. It might just go, you know, it might just be freed up. That's what a lot of people are hoping. A lot of the time viewing technology, the interference technology is essentially disabled from that type of control. But then there are these sentient systems, and they're basically running that part of the show now. And they're fueled by the negative energy from the nanites, from this reverse energy grid, which is basically propagating all this, the suffering energy around. That's why the 7-7 code is literally a gateway into people's consciousness to mitigating that, to changing that, not even mitigating it, but to changing it, to reversing it, to nullifying it. Once that happens, then the time interference system, which is powered by that energy, which is propagating it up, if it goes down, we find ourselves snapping back to a time where this not didn't ever happen, but it's already mitigated. It's already healed. It doesn't, you know, it's hard to comprehend what that means, but just kind of view a timeline, something looping around from the future and even going down under the line and coming back around because there's multiple levels of interference, and that loop is being held open by negative energy. So if we switch the energy to high, it negates that loop. And instead of linearly walking through time to get to somewhere, we literally begin, we snap to a different time. It's kind of like waking up. It's very the strangest thing. They can do it in small scale. And so you walk forward and you see the back of yourself, and you know, you end up walking out the bubble, and then you snap back to the where you are. You kind of, it's time bouncing. There's tachyon fields that are used for this. But a lot of that is going on. And we're watching that in these effects. And then somebody wants to know about future of unrest and things like that. Basically, what I said before kind of covers that. It's all about consciousness. It's all about what the, it's really, it's about what the individual is doing. That's what you got to think about, what the individual is doing in regards to what this collective society, what the collective consciousness is playing out. Mash your individual pattern for a plan you want to increase your energy, to get the highest awareness, to get to faster, you know, than light consciousness. And it will automatically place you in front of these temporal deviations that are powered basically by these nanite machines, which are powered through huge scalar devices that can reverse flow and pull in, or I mean, and push out. And they're reversing and feeding off of the negative frequencies of humans. So each person who negates that for themselves, you might watch your timeline collapse and you pop into a reality where it was all healed.
A lot of people understand the worthlessness of and the unreality of negative emotions, that there is no real place for negative emotions in the human system. And so I know Gurdjieff used to talk about this quite a bit. He said that they consume a great deal of energy for consciousness, and that there is no real place for them. And if you are mired in them, then you're basically giving away or, you know, just allowing the higher energies that could help make you conscious literally pull you down into the lower frequencies when you're mired in negativity and expressing negativity and fighting and doing all those things that we're encouraged to do by society. But, you know, a lot of people understand that that's not, it's not only not a solution, it's a very destructive force, and it's also something that other dimensional beings feed off of. So, you know, we don't want that, and there's no reason to be negative, to have negative emotions about things if you stay in a neutral space, a divine neutral space. So, as things heat up, I'm guessing that there will be people in key places that will be not, that will be like, tour guides, maybe, or like handing out maps. You know, here's a map. It might help you navigate through this period. And that they're already here, and that those people know what's going on, or know a lot of what's going on, and will be able to guide larger groups in a good positive direction, and an organic direction.
Yeah, there's a lot that could be said. So basically, darkness is part of this realm. Wherever you have light, you're going to have darkness. And right. That's just how it works.
I just want to let you know, we're almost out of time, so I want you to have a moment to wrap things up and just kind of, you know, whatever you want to say at the end, this is now your time to say it.
Yeah, for the first time.
And then we'll do another show.
First time I put a stopwatch up, and so I know I gave myself 2 minutes, so I know there's about 5 or 6. And this will actually work right perfectly into that. Alan Watts talks about an involuntary response, or a self, and a voluntary self. The more we embrace what we have to do involuntarily and basically get on our stuff, the more we can enjoy the voluntary self and who we are. It's all about responses and reactions and knowledge of the self and how we are being led by our emotions, or how we are managing them and then guiding ourselves through life for that. We want to not a negative response that has no power there, but the feelings is just how it goes. Neutrality, we get there, and higher self, we get there. But there's always going to be a lesser version of that highest high, so there's always going to be a version of negativity, but it just won't be so much that it causes us this problem. Ultimately, I'm going to wrap that up. It comes down to our higher self being the wholeness that comes from the heart intelligence, the mind intelligence, and the gut intelligence, which is our intuition. When you combine them all, you get a true version of yourself, your whole version, and that is literally a version of yourself that exists outside of time, where you are the most healed, completed version of yourself that you can imagine. And when we tap into that, we can't go wrong. It guides us to where we need to go. So the higher self be the gut, the mind, and the heart. Mm-hmm. Combined is one. When we're listening to them, they lead us in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few articles, or, you know, posts, I call them, on this. And so people can go there if they want more.
Well, that makes the most sense to me. And you can be found on Facebook, of course, so people can find you there. And then I posted the link to your blog, so they can go to your blog and check out your writing. And it's there's some fascinating stuff there, and it's really quite profound. So I check it out, and I check your posts daily. Because sometimes you come up with something that's pretty startling. So I know we were out of time, and I want to thank you for coming on and sharing some of these things that are difficult to talk about and difficult to hear. And we'll have you back. Let's have you back in about a month, if you'd like. And we can go into more detail about some of the other topics that maybe we didn't get a chance to talk about today.